Welcome to our service for the sixth Sunday of Trinity. I'm recording this on what is predicted to be the hottest day of the year so far, so the windows are open, and by the mercy of God there's a breeze, which you may occasionally hear, but I hope you'll be as grateful for it as I am. Our theme today is the Lord's Prayer. The Lucan version is in our Gospel reading. And our first hymn is a prayer for the Spirit of God to abide in our hearts. Come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardour glowing. O Comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestowing. We'll talk later about how important in the Lord's Prayer is the simple petition, forgive us our sins, and the related condition, as we forgive those who sin against us. But at the beginning of our service, as we always do, we come to confess our sins to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the collect for the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you, that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, beginning at verse 20. The Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre, and said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave is their sin! I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again Abraham spoke to the Lord, "Suppose 40 are found there," he answered. "For the sake of 40 I will not do it." Then Abraham said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." The Lord answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." The Lord answered, "For the sake of 20 I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." The Lord answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That I speak, and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Amen. The most striking thing about Jesus' answer when his disciples ask him to teach them to pray is surely how short it is. Short almost to the point of terseness. And the terseness of the prayer produces tensions which we probably miss because this prayer is so familiar to us, the most familiar of all prayers. There is a real tension in the very first sentence. Father, hallowed be your name. The footnote in my Bible version says that some ancient versions have Our Father in heaven, but this original version is more challenging. The first word in Jesus' own language of Aramaic was probably Abba, as we know the family name used for addressing one's father, like our dad or dad, a daddy in Welsh, dada. But this familiar name for God, which seems on first hearing to be too homely, is to be hallowed. This is an idea which it is difficult for us to grasp, not just because we don't use the word hallowed anymore, but because this is a very Hebrew way of using names, which is different from the way we use them. The name of a person in Hebrew thought held great power because it somehow made the person really present. Actually, it's why we still pray in Jesus' name. Whatever you ask in my name, says the Lord, where two or three are gathered in my name. The name of God, as we know, was so holy as to be unpronounceable. I am who I am, says the Lord to Moses. This is the God of Isaiah's vision in the temple, high and lifted up, with the angels crying, holy, holy, holy. But this God, whose name is too holy to be pronounced, is brought so close by the presence of Jesus that you can call him Dad, and that name will be the holiest of all names for God, because it shows us that his holiness is most fully expressed in his love. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. We'll talk in a moment about what that means. What does God's kingdom consist of? What are we praying for when we pray for it to come? But that is the second thing to notice. The first is that in our prayers, God's kingdom and God's will come first, before our own. We do not have many prayers which were prayed by our Lord, but two of them include this key phrase, your will be done. It's in the slightly longer Matthean version of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Later in the prayer, Jesus will teach his disciples to pray for the things they need and the things they want. Later in the chapter, he tells the parable of the man who makes himself a nuisance to his neighbour by his persistence in asking. He challenges his disciples thus to keep praying for the things they want, even when the answer does not appear at first. But all praying and all our asking are subject to this first prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. The first word of this prayer, Father, states Jesus' faith and our faith in the God who in Jesus has shown us that his love for us is fundamental to his nature. We pray in that faith, and the faith of our prayers is real, because through our faith we are convinced of the love of God. But in this first petition, we lay down our will before his. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And this becomes the context for everything we ask in prayer. The Jews were a people, of course, who had lost their monarchy. The proud line of kings like David and Solomon had petered out. So when they prayed for God's kingdom to come, they would be praying for the recovery of something precious that they had lost. The promised Messiah would be the person who would restore the kingdom to Israel. Perhaps that's what the disciples expected this to mean when they first heard Jesus teach them to pray it, Your kingdom come. But of course, this unlikely collection of fishermen, tax collectors, and other assorted trades were God's chosen instrument for the bringing in of a kingdom beyond their present imagination, which, though not a kingdom of this world, would have, and still does have, subjects of every tribe and language, every nation and race. We forget too easily that by the time these words were available in written form, the apostles had seen them fulfilled beyond their wildest expectations through their own ministry. And then the prayer proceeds to ask for the things we need. And again, it is its terseness which brings us up short. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. What is the thought process behind putting these two very different things together? We can all understand why you might ask first for your daily bread, which is essential to survival. Why would you put forgiveness of sins so immediately next to it? But the first thing I suppose to say is that we should never take our daily bread for granted. The climate which has provided it in such abundance is clearly changing, as we have had good cause to be aware this week. And we should not take for granted either the hard work of the farmers who are on the front line of the climate battle, trying to work with a climate which is increasingly unpredictable and unforgiving. And as we pray for our own daily bread, we will remember to pray surely also for those whose next meal is unassured and insecure, not excluding perhaps people in our own country who feel that they will face a choice between eating properly and staying warm this winter. The same is true, as Jesus makes clear, of our prayer for forgiveness. It cannot be prayed as if forgiveness were for us only. It only makes any moral sense if we can pray for forgiveness for those against whom we harbour resentments or whom we find it difficult to forgive. And this cannot be cheap. Nowhere in our Bibles are we told that forgiveness is easy. How often should I forgive my brother, asks Peter, knowing just how hard it is. As many as 7 times. I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, says Jesus, who knows the cost. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But no, our forgiveness and the forgiveness of all the world cost the blood of Jesus, sweated in Gethsemane and poured out on the cross. Forgiveness is never cheap or easy. But if we can find it in our hearts, it will bind us to our brothers and sisters as nothing else can. It is as essential to our moral and spiritual well-being as food is to our bodily well-being. And finally, do not bring us to the time of trial. It's a strange ending, as terse and abrupt as the prayer is all the way through. Please don't put us to the test, Lord. Please don't tempt us. Perhaps it flows from the knowledge that we so often fail to do that last thing we have just prayed for, to forgive those who have sinned against us. Not in that way alone, but in so many ways, we know we will not be able to live up to the love expressed in the very first word of the prayer. If we were tested to see whether we are worthy of the love which our Heavenly Father lavishes on us, we know that we would fail. Don't tempt us, Lord. Don't bring us to the time of trial. But in His mercy, the Lord looks not on our sins, but on the sacrifice of Christ. Look, Father, look on His anointed face, and only look on us as found in Him. Look not on our misusings of Thy grace, our prayer so languid and our faith so dim. For lo, between our sins and their reward, we set the passion of Thy Son, our Lord. Amen.
Broken for you, the broken for you. He offered his body, he poured out his soul. Jesus was broken that we might be whole. Broken for me, broken for you. The body of Jesus was broken for you. Come to my table and with me dine. Eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Broken for me, broken. The body of Jesus, broken for you.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En tad yr hynoet yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled dy dernas, gwnela dy wellys, megis yn y nef felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddeiwn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg. Canis eith o ti o'r dernas, a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Everlasting God, we join together in praying to you for the needs of the church, the world, our communities and ourselves, trusting in your love, which reaches out from before the foundation of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, whenever we start to be offended by your generosity or open-mindedness, give us the grace to repent and join your rejoicing. Guard ourselves, guard our church against self-righteousness and all the rules and limits which you would not own. Always keep before us instead the rule of love. We pray for our Bishop Joanna, Archdeacon Aileen, our Area Dean John, for Judith and Hailwen, for David Tizard, and especially at this time for the family of Canon John Rowlands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for your world. Forgive us when we are ungrateful, when spiritual blindness prevents us from appreciating the wonder of your creation and the endless cycle of nature. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. We pray for the farmers of the world, many of whom still use those methods described by Jesus, and we pray especially that they may be treated with fairness for their labours. And we remember especially those who work the land here in West Wales. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for the love we share with all our families and friends. We recognize that they may have faults and that they love us in spite of ours. Help us to be flexible and adaptable in all our relationships, capable of accepting constructive criticism and responding with love. Lord of God and love of life, we pray for the gift of courage to face up to and cope with all the difficulties that life brings. We pray it for ourselves, for our families and friends, and those who are on our hearts today. We pray that you would be with them, bless and keep them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we thank you for the opportunity of being together in prayer. As we look forward to the week to come, we pray that we may be aware of your love and your presence in everything we do and think and say. Make us a blessing to our neighbours. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So
the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.